One last consideration of the virtuous woman today in our broadcast. This one pinpoints another class of women in the church, the aged woman. It is easy for us to overlook the elderly women of the church, since they are finished with raising their children. These women, however, whether married or not, have yet an important function in the church that Scripture everywhere recognizes. We have chosen to consider one such passage today, Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The idea that the older saints in the church teach the younger is common in Scripture. The aged psalmist writes in Psalm 71, verse 18, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come." Proverbs 23, verse 22, imparts this point of wisdom to younger men and women in the church. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." You see, a godly woman who has gone through life has gained much in the way of wisdom. A younger person that is experiencing life as a single, or even as a wife and mother, may think they have a thorough knowledge of life, but they are still learning. The older women of the church have learned, and now are able to pass what they have learned to the younger woman. So it is necessary to consider the place of the older, virtuous women of the church too. Immediately, we must determine who these aged women of the church are. First reaction of most women, unless they are in their 70s or 80s, is, "Well, I guess this category of women in the church excludes me, because I'm not old, I'm not an aged woman." Perhaps the best way of understanding who these aged women are is to consider the men who are elders that are called to rule in the church. It is striking that the Greek word that describes the elder as a presbyter is the same word used here to describe the aged women of the church. The word presbyter means elderly one, a senior, one advanced in years, or as we might say, an older person. Not an old person, mind you, but an older person in the church. Those men appointed by the church to be elders are appointed because, well, they've experienced much of life. At the same time, elders are not so old that they wane in strength and are unable to put much time and energy into the church. Elders are able to work actively in the church while making wise decisions. Well, this is the same term used for aged women here in Titus. They are older women who have served their families and church in their youth. They are beyond middle-aged years and now entered into their senior years, yet have plenty of strength to be useful in the church. I know that women who have reached this time of their lives do not like to be called aged. The term makes them sound really old. But the word aged women used by Paul here in Titus does not mean that such women are so old and decrepit that they have little life to them anymore. The behavior of these women in the church is given us in verse 3. It becomes holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. The chief characteristic of older women is behavior as becomes holiness. Holiness. The term used here should be translated sacredness. This means that aged women must reveal behavior that is not secular or profane, but respectable and reverent. She must reveal by her walk of life that she is a woman that fears God. We have already pointed out in our past broadcasts that a virtuous woman is a godly woman, that is, a God-fearing woman. Well, this must show itself in the way that she conducts herself in the church. She is not loud, gaudy, and profane, as are the wicked women of this world, but she conducts herself in a way that gains for her from the younger respect and honor. The term sacred actually makes reference to the work of the priest and Levite in Israel. Their office entailed sacred obligation toward God, that is, performing a duty of purity dedicated to the cause of God. Well, so also must it be true of the saintly women in the church. They must be dedicated to the cause of the Lord. They must speak as such. They must conduct their lives as such. When others in the church observe their behavior, they will hold such women in high esteem and respect them in their service of God. Their lives will be that of purity and holiness. They will show their own personal dedication to the cause of the church and those in it. This will, in turn, show itself in these concrete ways. They will not be false accusers, that is, slanderers. They will not tell lies about others, but more, they will not be gossipers or backbiters. They will not spread rumors about others, whether true or untrue. Now, this must be true of every one of us, of course. But Paul emphasizes this with respect to aged women. Why this? Because this is a sin in the church that can destroy the church from within. Slander and gossip ruin the peace and the beauty of the Church of Jesus Christ. While men may be busy in their labors, women in particular are given more of an opportunity to be busybodies in other people's matters. They are more apt, given now their particular position in the church, to sit with one another and allow the conversation to drift into the way of gossip. The older women of the church must not be given over. They must be to that sin. They must be godly examples to the younger women of the church. Indeed, if they are to behave themselves as becomes holiness, that is, in a way that demands of them the respect of others, then they must watch their tongues. A second sin of which they ought not be guilty is, they must not be given over to much wine, or literally, they must not be enslaved to wine. This does not forbid them from drinking wine, quite obviously. There is no sin in having a little wine. Wine was, wine still is, a common drink. But as is true in our culture, so also in that culture, there were many who drank too much wine or were enslaved to wine. They could not get together with others without the wine flowing freely. Then, when too much wine was imbibed, their tongues loosed. When the tongues loosed, they began to speak vainly and loudly. They said things that were unholy and inappropriate. They did things that were inappropriate because they had a buzz. They were not thinking soberly. Paul instructs the elderly women of the church that this may not characterize them, because it is not that which becomes holiness. It was the opposite. And neither would they be respected. Neither would they be looked up to as a godly example if they did such. Surely, if the church expected the younger women to be free of this sin, so also must the aged women be free of this sin. On the other hand, they must be teachers of good things. This was behavior that became holiness. Teach good things. A teacher. Did you know that of yourselves, older women? You are teachers. Whether you want to be or not, you are teachers. Younger women, and even the younger men, look at your behavior and they learn from you. If you are loud, slanderous, given to wine, you are teaching the generation to come to be such too. You are teaching them the way of unholiness, just as well as elderly men who do this. The next generation watches you and will learn from you their behavior and most often carry it one step farther. This is why you must be teachers of good things, that is, of noble and excellent things. This refers to godly behavior in the church, first of all. You must by your very behavior be an example of godliness. You must exhibit by your actions the fear of God, the love of God, and the love that you have for His church and His people. By this, you will teach good and godly things to those who follow you in the next generation. But noble and excellent things are also that outward behavior that becomes holiness. You must lead a good and orderly life. You must lead a quiet and peaceable life in your home. You must show honor and respect to your husband. You must be clean. You must be mannerly. You must be organized in order by your very respectable example to show this to the generation to come. Then you are a teacher of good things and behave yourself in a respectable and reverent way. What will you teach? What is the instruction you are called to give? This is found in verses 4 and 5 of Titus 2. You must teach, quote, the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, and obedient to their husbands. There's a lot to teach, isn't there? But before we get into this instruction, a word needs to be said to younger women in the church. The elder women of the church are your teachers. You may not take the attitude, number one, that these women no longer are relevant to you in your lives. They have forgotten how to deal with what you are dealing with right now. Older women have forgotten everything. That's not true. Older women have not forgotten everything. They remember because they had to deal with children too. They remember because they were single women at one time too. And number two, you may not take the attitude, mothers and grandmothers do not understand what life is anymore. Their generation did not have to confront what we do now. What they did to raise children then is no longer applicable to the way that we raise children today. We know so much more than they did. Solomon tells us there is no new thing under the sun. Older women have indeed experienced everything you have. They have been given wisdom through all of their experiences. They know a whole lot more than you do. They know and have now been given wisdom by God in how to deal with the problems that we confront today. And we need to listen to them, young women. That is our calling. Otherwise, the instruction given to aged women in our text is invalid. Within the realm of the church, where we have been given mothers and grandmothers to teach us, their instruction must be utilized. This is the place of elderly women in the church, and this is her prayer. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. So then, here's what they must teach the younger. To young women in general, whether single or married, they must teach them to be sober, discreet, and chaste. The word sober, as we well know, means the opposite of drunk. But here and elsewhere in Scripture, it points to more than merely not given to much wine. It is true younger women too, as must be true of their husbands, are poor witnesses of the life of Christ and His people when they are known for their drinking. Neither in single life, nor in married life must they be given to wine or any strong drink. There is nothing uglier than a woman who walks about with the smell of alcohol on her breath. By the soberness of the elderly women in the church, they must be taught godliness. That must be seen in the young women of the church. But more, He must be known for sober thinking. One who is given to strong drink does not think straight. Their mind and their conscience is clouded, and they say and do things that are foolish and often sinful. Elderly women must teach young women of the church to think straight. That is, the ability to use God's word to direct their ways in this world. Young, unmarried women must be taught this before marriage. Then married women must be taught this for the sake of their home and family. Likewise, they must be taught to be discreet. This word means self-controlled, moderate in all things, disciplined. Again, both single and married young women need to be taught this virtue, especially in today's world that is given to instant gratification, selfishness, and self-indulgence. Self-discipline is sore lacking in today's world. And sad to say, oftentimes this is true in the church too. The aged women ought to teach by example and word younger women to be discreet, self-discipline. And younger women need to accept this instruction of older women. And finally, they must be taught to be chaste in speech, in actions, and in dress. We need not get into this since we already spoke in an earlier broadcast about the adornment of a virtuous woman. But this too must be taught our younger women by the elder women of the church, specifically by mothers and grandmothers who remind the younger generation of the modesty that is befitting a virtuous woman. Then there is also the instruction that elderly women in the church must give to young married women: to love their husbands and children, to be keepers of the home, good, and to be obedient to their husbands. We're not going to go into each one of these in detail either, since, again, we learned of these in earlier broadcasts. But there is one thing that presses itself on us in all of these. Aged women must, by example and word, teach the younger married women to throw their all into their families. We cannot stress it enough, dear listener. The home and family are the most important unit in life. There is nothing better than life in the family. The wife and the mother make it such. She must devote herself to her husband and children and love them more than possessions and more than careers, love them more than the world around her. She must give of herself freely to home and family, sacrificing her all to make her home happy and satisfying. And mothers and grandmothers in the church must teach this to the generation of women to come. Genuine love for home and family must be impressed on young women by the older women of the church. I'm afraid that's not happening anymore today. Let the daughters of the church see you and hear you and hear from you, older women, the love for, the glorious fulfillment you have found in the past in your homes. Show them the good you have shown to their own families. Neither does this leave out those women of the church who are older but unmarried. You too have so much to offer in the way of wisdom to the younger generation of women. You too have much in the way of sage advice to pass on to them. And younger women ought to learn to take heed to you too. The honor that belongs to the aged women of the church is found in the very last phrase of verse 5 here in Titus. That is this: that the word of God be not blasphemed. So much depends on the women of the church. The world is watching the church too, and the way she conducts herself in this world. The wicked watch to see what kind of men and women are produced by the church. That task falls largely on the shoulders of women. The world will judge the Church of Jesus Christ to a great extent by the behavior that the gospel produces in its godly women. If you women fail in the tasks given in these verses, the word of God and the gospel will be blasphemed. The world will mock the church for her inconsistencies and her failure to produce members that are godly and upright. The scorn of the church or the world will be leveled at the church. God's word says here, the blame for God's word being blasphemed will lie on you, young women of the church. Quite the burden? No, not at all. Quite the challenge. Work hard in the church to show ourselves approved of God. Show your godliness by your works. Live in faith and the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Then the world cannot blaspheme, but the church will shine forth in the beauty of God's holiness. That is how honorable is this task that you perform for the church. Then, you in turn, young women, must honor the aged women in the place that God has given them in your lives. Do not push them aside as if they do not understand. They do. Do not dishonor them by ignoring them. Honor them by respecting their place in your lives. Listen to the wisdom they can pass on to you. That is the order God has established in the church. And elderly women, embrace your place and do the church well. You are highly honored too. We thank God for the God-fearing women of the church. Shine for us, and the world will see your witness, and God's name will be praised. Let's pray. Our faithful God and Heavenly Father, how good thou art to thy church by raising up godly women in her midst. Women of virtue, women who love thee, who love their families, who love the church, and who therefore do us well and shine forth in the midst of the church in that salvation that thou hast purchased for them in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank thee for mothers, for single women, for grandmothers in the Church of Jesus Christ. Indeed, Father, they play an important function in the preservation of thy church from one generation to the next. Bless and keep them, therefore. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen.